Hey everyone, and welcome to a special live interlude of Authors and Dragons. Interludes are what we do every so often when we're supposed to have a game night, but something has happened and it just can't, go as planned. So instead, we hop on and talk for 2 hours and hope that nobody calls us out on it. Anyway, we're doing this live tonight because for no reason other than Steve is in Mexico, so it seems like a great occasion to do something different. My name
And
is
if he gets
Rick
shot, then
Gualtieri.
it'll be recorded live.
Ratings, man, ratings. Anyway, my name is Rick Gualtieri, and I'm joined here tonight by Drew Hayes, Steve Weatherall, Robert Bevan, and John Hartness. Say hi, guys.
Hi,
Hello, friends.
guys. Hello. I said hola because I'm in Mexico, and that is the one
Whoa,
Spanish word I
did you
can say confidently.
Oh,
say
bullshit.
hola?
I've heard you say margarita and tequila.
No. Did you pronounce it hola?
Yeah. I was being deliberately
Okay.
annoying. I haven't said that to a Mexican. I haven't just went up to us or anyone in Madrid and said hola. Does that
Did
sound
you
weird?
say sacapuntas to them?
No, I haven't had the opportunity yet. I'm not sure when that opportunity will arise. That
Break
is
the
to
tip
say,
off a pencil and hold it in front of them, like brandish it in front of them and say,
brandish it
Sacapuntas.
menacingly in front of them.
Por
Get out
favor.
of here, drunk.
Yeah.
Sacapunta. Hola. There you go.
So,
Two
anyway,
Spanish words.
the way we typically do these interludes is, well, it's a little bit of bullshit, which we're doing right now. But what we also do is, this is kind of like the chance for those of you who, we ignore for whatever reason. Maybe we just don't like you. Maybe your questions suck. Maybe you're that one person who always it puts in the questions 3 hours after the game has ended, because there's always you. But this is a
Maybe we're
chance
all
for.
now rethinking letting Rick drive the bus tonight.
I'm all
Oh,
for
that last one
honesty.
was fair. You know who you are.
But this is kind of a chance where we'll go through the questions on both Discord and Facebook, and see how many we can get through, and answer a bunch of them and have some fun with it. And you guys listening in live, you get to hear us, fuck up the normal stuff that we would normally say. Steve, edit this out because goddamn, I want to have a career tomorrow.
It could be
Rex will
all
say it. He
that
just won't be able to do it.
podcast. Yep.
Yo tengo
Basically,
guisantes en mi hamburguesa.
for all of you that have been asking for live, unedited outtakes, this is our reminder that you really don't fucking want that. We're terrible.
Ever since we started doing the yearly live episodes at the cons and stuff, I noticed that those requests have dropped way the hell off. We kept saying for a while, you don't want this, and then we showed them, and it's like, oh, you know what? Y'all were right.
You got to throw it out there now and then just to remind them of, what they could have had.
Discoteca.
And like episodes like this, like let us kind of like hang it over people's heads like a threat. Don't make us go live, motherfuckers.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to see all the behind-the-scenes magic of Authors and Dragons. No, you don't. We don't even want to see that.
So now you can hear every time I forget to mute my mic and I'm eating Cheetos, and when usually Steve would edit that shit out.
Don't want to hear it. You
That's
certainly don't want to see it.
It's a scary thing.
Yeah, that goes on the secret ASMR channel, which is actually how we fund most of A&D.
Damn it, I don't care. I think 2 hours of John eating Cheetos would be awesome for our YouTube channel.
Fuck it, I'm in. You
I
bring the
mean,
Cheetos, I'll bring the fat.
Depressingly true.
Also, I'm not sure if that would be on our ASMR channel or our BDSM channel. I keep getting those two confused.
I can do both.
knowing our luck, that would be the thing that catapults us. It's like now we're known as the John Eating Cheetos podcast.
Just to support. That's fine. I mean, it's the entertainment industry. You take what you're given.
Get like Southern Airlines, but you have heard of us.
I don't care how we get the Terry Pratchett life-size cocaine statue, as long as we get the life-size Terry Pratchett cocaine statue.
Yeah, we say that now, but 30 years from now, as we're sitting in our mansions just old and bitter, you know?
Okay. I'm old and bitter now, motherfucker, and you're in Jersey. You've been old and bitter all your life.
I think most old people are bitter. They just don't have mansions. So
yeah.
I'm willing to take that bargain.
Yeah.
I'd rather have, like, you know, a servant who has to listen to me complain than not.
If we get into this Cheeto thing too long, John's years are numbered.
But what years will be?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm willing for him to make.
I'm eating Cheetos right now, and two, I've eaten so many in my life, I'm fucking full of preservatives. I'm never going to die.
So John is eating. Chester Cheetah, motherfucker.
We go for records, speed records of a party-sized bag, and you know, by the end of it, his beard is all covered in orange powder. That we got to do the visual.
Oh, it's going to get so many hits.
No, baby, I'm built for comfort, not for speed. No, Joe will be our rapid fire Cheeto eater.
If we could just harness Joe's competitive streak.
Yeah, but nobody wants to see like Joe eating Cheetos.
You take his fucking shirt off and tell me we wouldn't get a whole lot of hits on that.
Yeah, rest of us can retire.
See, again,
John eating Cheetos is to make us all feel better about ourselves. Joe eating Cheetos isn't going to do that.
It will probably make some of our fans feel better, but they may have to participate manually in making themselves feel better.
Don't sell yourself short, buddy.
People masturbating to internet content. I mean,
that's just sort of the basis of the internet.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole song and a musical about it.
Yeah, there are two ways we can make money on the internet. It's Cheeto ASMR or literally anything involving masturbation.
Year 6 of the podcast and we finally figured out how to monetize this shit.
Why not both?
This is why none of us are rolling in Matt Mercer money, kids.
Everything is about masturbation if you get the right audience.
And it's the internet, you know, you can find that audience.
I was just reading an article earlier about some podcast who just got a $60 million contract with Spotify.
What the fucking fuck?
Yeah, I was just reading
podcast, that. Rick, you're so humble. All right, I guess we're making the announcement now. I wouldn't even fucking know what to...
I wouldn't either, but I am willing to try.
Yeah, I feel like I would panic and just buy the cocaine statue. I don't know what to do, $60 million. Cocaine statue, fuck, it's all I can think of. Fuck.
Hi, we're fucking rich now and have no idea what to say.
Don't you hate it when your butler's butler asks for 2 days in a row off?
Let me tell you, my niece walked in and she didn't even use the servants' quarters. What's up with that?
You know, there's just going to be an overclass of YouTubers in the future. That's all there's going to be. It's going to be rich YouTubers and poor YouTubers. That's all the people that are going to exist in the future. They'll both be terrible.
I hope one of those channels, one of those channels owned by a rich YouTuber, and I'm putting this out there that maybe we should be that rich YouTuber, is basically pitting poor YouTubers to fight to the death.
This is basically Mad Max, but just in a shittier version, which makes me think it might be real. It's the YouTubers who are popular and have money are like the ones running things, and then we're just the little nameless peons walking around going, can we have gas or clicks or whatever their version is?
I'm sitting on Steve's shoulders going, who runs Bartertown?
Like and subscribe to Run Bartertown.
click the fucking bell. I run Barter Town.
It'll just be really powerful YouTubers corralling lesser YouTubers to do their bidding in exchange for attention. Be YouTuber cartels. That's the fucking future, man.
It's Craig. He only has 300 subscribers, and he's going to wash my feet tonight.
Like and subscribe. Oh, God. If you'd like to see more of Craig washing my feet.
I don't know. I call it. I be sure like to join this. The YouTube Plus subscription service so you can watch Craig wash my feet live.
Yeah,
he's like, going to use his hair Mary of Magdalene style.
This has got legs.
I'm figuring out. I'm trying to figure out how we make this a thing.
Yeah, somebody's going to steal this from us and make millions of dollars. We're just going to be bitter.
He has dignity. See what we can make, Craig.
And this is scalable. You know, how many subscribers do we have?
Like Mary, with our hair, Mary Magdalene style, is down to one, and fuck y'all, I ain't getting close to your feet with my head.
No, that's not what I'm saying. All right, we've got like 2,500 subscribers. Yeah, I'm talking about.
Good for us.
Yeah, good for us. But I'm saying, like, all right, those people with 300 subscribers, to them, we're big time.
We should make them wash
our feet. We get a bunch of them to wash our feet or, like,
We've been
really sitting on the foot washing thing for a concerning amount of time.
I'm throwing out other options.
Yeah, I was thinking. I'm like, anywhere. But then I'm thinking, anywhere else we go from foot washing is going to be worse.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, 100%.
Eight things that were in our ass.
Yeah, what problem? We have, shame. So we wouldn't really be able to take this to the necessary levels.
Have you read a shingles?
Whoa. I think you'd have shame until you got that first YouTuber wannabe to wash your feet, and then it'd just be a rapid downward spiral.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know what would be the best?
Billions of those.
I was sitting at a convention last weekend trying to find someone to 3D print me molds to make chocolate butt plugs with the A&D logo on it. I think shame went out the window a long time ago. By the way, I got a guy.
The absolute best guess would be like, you know, former Twitch like streamers who got really big but then got kicked off the channel and are desperate to have that one last bit of attention. And it's like, you used to have like, you know, 16 million views a week and now you're eating Cheetos from between my toes.
I can't believe that we're inventing a new pornography here. This already has.
I was going to say, we're getting real deep into what's feeling like fetish at this point.
This must already exist. I'm going to Google it after this.
Oh, 100%.
So, shall we take some questions?
No, let's carry on.
Can't be any worse.
Let's get really weird with it.
I think
we're
going to
do both regardless. This is
why we're not hitting our goals.
All right.
Listen to me.
So, we have our goals. We're going to go to our friend Lamplighter first, because I think she was the first one to hop onto our live recording here.
Well done.
She wrote, "My friend recently had a baby and named him Silas. No relation. What's your thoughts on people naming their children after characters you've created?"
Jesus fucking Christ, are you high? That's my immediate reaction.
Fully encouraged.
Hey, you should absolutely name your children after my character. I mean, why wouldn't you?
You should tattoo my book titles on them as well. I'll appreciate that later.
If you name your child www.orphansanddragons.com, then that'd be the sign of a true fan.
If you do that and then tattoo that on your child, we'll send you a free shingle every month. Not the books, just like a fucking piece of roofing product.
Whoa, John, have you priced construction materials right now? Maybe we'll send the book.
I have a packet of shingles left over from last year when I redid my roof. We got 50 we got 50 months worth of shit just laying in my backyard.
Well, well, well. Seems like we have yet another income stream to exploit.
Somebody I'm not eating Cheetos off of the shingles for free.
Somebody said, no, saying, well, I don't actually like the podcast, but I really need to redo my roof. Sorry, firstborn.
Yeah, you got to think, John, coming to AADCon, what's going to be more profitable for you? A truck full of books or a truck full of 2x4s?
I mean, they weigh about the same. So, yeah.
I was going to say, I guess most of my characters have pretty normal people names, but then I remembered Spell, Sword, and Stealth, so I guess it would be neat. No, I'm going to take it back. It would be awesome. Everybody should name their kid Thunder. Male, female, it goes, it's a unisex name that everyone should use.
Dude, you wrote an entire superhero series. That's a lot of fucked up names. And oh. I personally... will pay $100 to the first person who shows me a birth certificate that says they named their kid Johnny Three Dicks.
The villainous code names, but they have like normalish names under those.
You cannot like name a kid with only one dick Johnny Three Dicks because he's going to have a lot to live up to that he can't possibly live up to. I don't know. Maybe that's how you make a predator.
Mother, what happens pressure to my makes two diamonds. Other dicks? What happened to my two other dicks, mother?
You must find them.
Promises
go into
made,
the world.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
It's an extra dick.
The name is a destiny, my son. A destiny you must fulfill. Avenge me. Wait, what? You're talking, right? Avenge me. You're just driving away.
Avenge me. Also, I'm leaving you. Bye-bye.
As you're dying, there is another dick.
I am too fucking sober for this. I say that a lot around you guys.
So why are you too fucking sober? What's your problem?
Well, I was taking a nap 35 minutes ago, so that's why. Oh, nice. I slept it off.
Entirely understandable.
Yeah. Some of us can't take our naps on a fucking beach with a margarita right now.
You can I can't see the beach. There's some kind of weird looking jungle in the way. But, you know, often when I'm recording the podcast, I have taken a nap beforehand because normally I'm in the UK time zone. So yeah. I recommend it as this podcast preparation. It's not quite like being drunk.
I think when we record the podcast literally in the middle of the night, it doesn't count as a nap. It's like, oh, I slept half my fucking night. Now I woke up to be around these idiots. And then I'll go sleep half my night again.
Yeah. I mean, at that time when I'm not really kind of in the mood for making differentiations. I don't know if it is a nap or if it was a sleep. At 1 in the morning, it doesn't matter.
It's just a thing you're powering through.
Yeah, that's what I had to ask Monday when I got back from the con. I was like, okay, so usually I sleep like 6 hours a night. So when I took a 4-hour nap in the middle of the afternoon, is that really a nap or is that just like most of another night's sleep?
Getting far too much into the philosophy here. This is
getting
a bit
got real existential. I'm sorry, I gotta go get some more Cheetos.
Yeah, name your characters after my kids. I would love to see again a Dr. Death and a Night Razor out there.
Night Razor. Or Thunder.
Your kids have some badass names.
Hmm. Yeah.
You did say name your characters after my kids.
That is true. That is something I normally would have edited out, but there it is in all its glory.
Now you're getting sometimes the good stuff, audience.
Sometimes we just say things in the wrong order. It happens.
As far as naming character... God damn it! Yeah, see what you did, Rick? Yeah, as far as that thing that we're supposed to be answering, most of my people have normal names. So... And really, I'm in the South, so somebody named Bubba and Skeeter is not that fucking unusual.
So you call the kid Bubba the Monster Hunter, not Bubba.
Yeah, okay, that'd be funny.
He's got a lot to live up.
The Monster Hunter was on his birth certificate.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I want to see somebody screaming. I want to see somebody screaming at the doctor. Be like, no. It's Harker Demon Hunter. That's his full name.
Yeah, naming a kid with like a really ambitious job title.
I mean, I need to hunt monsters and grow two more dicks.
It would be bad enough if you just named him Jonathan Abraham Quincy Holmwood Harker. Because motherfucker has five names.
Five names and three dicks. That's the way to go.
Yeah, that's
Oh, that's a whole different series.
That's a kid with ambition. Whether they like it or not.
Let me tell you, nobody's fucking when somebody walks in the room and be like, you know, or walks into a prison cell and is like, I'm just going to tell you all, I got five names and three dicks.
I think you should just name your kid Johnny Tough Guy Invincible. And his middle name could be also I'm Really Smart. Just make it difficult for them. Kids have got it too easy these days.
Yeah. Well, if it isn't Ricky Genital Exploder.
All right.
I think we thoroughly answered that question.
Well, here's one potentially for you over the next 2 weeks, Steve. Steve. Uh-huh. Our friend Crystal S, or perhaps Crystals, asks, have you ever thought you were about to get murdered?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Fucking 100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, are there people who have gone through their entire life and not ever thought they were going to get murdered?
Mm. I am usually imbued with an unreasonable confidence. It's not, you know, I'm not that smart, so sometimes I don't really catch up to what's happening. But normally at some point I'm just like, I thought I was going to be murdered there. I just didn't really appreciate it at the time. Otherwise, I would have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah, a lot of the times when I have looked back on things and thought, ooh, I probably almost got killed there. But there have been a couple where I was in the middle of it and I'm like, yeah, so this is how and where I die. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I had a gun pointed at me once. I was too paralyzed with fear at the time to consider whether or not I was about to get murdered. And then it didn't happen.
I'm pretty sure you didn't have to do a whole lot of consideration. As soon as they pointed a gun at you, you were butting right up against the line, bud.
But that is the question is, has there been a time where you thought you were about to get murdered? And I guess if you don't coherently, like, put two and two together in a conscious way, it's like your body knows what's going down.
Oh, yeah, I was in a strip club in Atlanta, and I thought, oh, this guy is going to literally murder me.
Well,
he didn't like your tits?
He did not. I mean, I was going to die sad.
Oh.
But I didn't. And my tits have gotten bigger since then, so rock on.
Try back again.
No. I think that club's closed since then anyway.
Well, it sounded like a horrible club. Next time, just find a stripper that doesn't want to kill you.
I've got one that's like, it probably was nothing, but in terms of just a moment of absolute visceral fear, I was at a real shitty motel, because the doors faced the outside for a job, and like it was the kind of sketchy where like the job van dropped me off, and I like sprinted to my room, and like middle, like near the middle of the night, and just suddenly this fucking pounding starts coming on my door, and I just rolled right down like it was the shitty twin beds. I just rolled right between them, and I was like, oh, fuck, don't see me through a window, I don't know what's going on. And then eventually the pounding stopped. But yeah, that was not a great moment.
He's never had that one.
One on the way
stated,
to IndieCon 2019, where I did that.
Yeah, but that was just so you could keep the fucking cops from breaking in because you'd gotten pulled over from speeding 17 times in that state.
Yeah, they usually give up if there's a chair wedged against the door.
You know, something sure Rick didn't drive through the smartest states.
Yeah, you know something? I'm thinking to myself, if at least I die then, at least I know I tried my best.
They pull the door open, and it goes out. The chair just falls.
Now that would be my fucking luck, yeah.
Well, damn.
Eat on your rock.
Yeah, I used to go to, before it was bought up by WWE, I used to go to ECW shows in the middle of, Central Philly, and there was one time where the crowd just got ugly, and I think it was because they were, late opening the doors. And, it was, we're standing there in the middle of it going, okay, this is going to riot. And I have a feeling that our faces look punchable.
I've seen pictures of you at those ECW shows. You're right. You did.
Yeah, I've seen those pictures too. And I'm like, yeah, I'd go back in time and punch me.
Also, at an ECW show, you were just as likely to get fucking stabbed by the wrestlers. Because they had New Jack.
They had some
New Jack time.
They had Sabu too, and those guys were legitimately afraid of him.
Yeah. Rest in peace, New Jack. He just died this year. But, god damn. Maybe the most terrifying man to ever be in professional wrestling, except that dude who murdered Bruiser Brody in the locker room.
Yeah, I feel like somebody might have just tried to shank the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I challenge you to a game. Okay, the game is knife fight.
Yeah. Well, the good news is Cerberus doesn't guard the gates anymore. The bad news is who killed him and took his place.
Yeah, now he's wearing a three-headed dog as a dick puppet, because it's the ghost of Johnny Three Dicks. Just bringing it back around.
That'd be hilarious. Actually, when he got erections and all the dog heads came up. Huh?
Oh, dear God.
Oh, man. I'm really thankful Bob's not drawing at this moment.
Oh, I'm really hoping Bob is drawing at this moment.
That's too much. I mean, not beyond my taste. Just that's a lot of work.
It's too much. Not ethically, effortly.
Yeah, that tracks.
We kind of glossed over this, but Bevan, why did you get a gun pointed at you? What did you do?
I didn't do anything. I was just hanging out with this.
Come on.
No. I mean, this was when I was a kid. I was like, I might have been 12 or 13 or something. I was
again, Dad.
Mom, you do not grow up. You do not grow up into us without being assholes for a long time.
No. I was a very shy and quiet kid, but I had a crush on this redneck girl who lived across the street. And, I was hanging out with her and her older redneck boyfriend. And, I don't know, she was in a fight with him. We were all in the woods, and she got into a fight with him, and I was just kind of there and probably shouldn't have been, but... not saying anything, nothing, but their fight got heated, and he pulled out a gun. I guess he didn't want to shoot her, but I was there. So
I'm so mad! I'm gonna shoot this random person that's with us.
There's a lot of questions. A lot of questions.
He
you were 12 or 13.
Yeah.
How old was the kid with answered. The gun?
I don't know if he was a kid. He was older.
Okay.
Anyway, he pointed at me for a little bit and then just shifted to a tree and shot the tree. No, yeah, that was.
If if Quantum
Leap ever, story as I remember.
Ever becomes a thing, this is one of those moments I want to leap into just to see what happened.
Well, did the argument resolve itself after that? Did they live happily ever after?
I mean, that fucking tree never gave him any lip again.
They have like 15 trailer trash babies.
My parents asked me later, did you hear something in the woods? Nope.
Yeah, no, around here, snitches don't get stitches, but they end up in ditches.
Didn't we send you out with pants today? No.
Forgot to wear my brown pants.
I'm very, very glad that gun ownership is not a common thing in the UK. It's one thing having like blunt instruments and knives pulled on you and stuff, but you know, we had a gun. The population of my town would be significantly smaller.
Yeah, I mean, some people escalate way too easily.
Yeah.
Hey, you cut me off in traffic. Fine, fuck you, bang.
Yeah, so something, you know, if my stepson was the more adventurous type going into dangerous areas, my first advice would be to him, like, if anyone's trying to start a fight with you, it's because they think they can win it. And if they don't look like they can win it, it's because they're an evil bastard with a weapon in their pocket. So just, you know, walk away. If you ever think, yeah, this guy's challenging me, I could probably take him, it's because he's either got five friends willing to jump in or he's carrying something.
Yeah. You know, you can shorten that to don't put your dick in crazy, and it'll keep you out of a lot of those situations where the crazy little guy is coming after you. Because if you don't screw his crazy girlfriend... Or maybe that's just my life experience.
Yeah, but, you know, young men like women generally. Don't get stabbed is solid advice. No one wants to get stabbed. Don't go after the woman you're attracted to. I don't know. It's just...
I would say don't walk into the woods with the woman you're attracted to if her angry, gun-toting boyfriend is with you.
Yeah, how old was this girl? It's like, if she's got a 20-year-old boyfriend, stay away from him.
This barely registers as a memory. I don't know. I mean, at the, you know, I was 12 or 13. He seemed like an adult. That might have meant he was like 16 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's something else I tell to my kids. Never trust a 17-year-old or anyone who hangs out with somebody 5 years their junior. Like in the kind of 10 to 20 year old range. Yeah, avoid those people. Generally tend to be a.
Just show them Fast Times at Ridgemont High and say, don't do anything that happened in this movie.
Yeah, if you're like a bunch of 13 year olds with your cool older guy man mate who's like 16. It's because he's a dangerous troublemaker who wants to manipulate smaller, weaker people.
Not necessarily true. You might be able to invite him into your club to fight monsters when they show up in your town.
Good point.
That's true. Monster Squad is a movie to not emulate in any way.
My third point of
I think that's a Stranger Things reference and still not good.
Don't emulate.
I think it was a Monster Squad reference.
Why not both?
Like, don't go after Dracula. He will throw some fucking dynamite at you. I don't care how tough your 16-year-old friend is. He wasn't even 16. He was a 14-year-old with a leather jacket.
He did a great job with Monster Squad, but I kind of want to do it again.
We're all totally going to fuck off after this and go watch Monster Squad, aren't we? I mean, I know I am. Are we still on the naming? Oh, no, this is the did you almost think you were going to get murdered question. Yep. I was trying to figure out how we got here from naming kids after your characters.
Could have happened.
Oh, we could totally do it. I was just trying to figure it out.
If you name the kids after the characters, they're likely to, at some point, you know, almost get murdered. It's a given. Especially if you call him Johnny Three Dicks.
Yes.
Captain Invincible.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lamplighter, your friend who just named their kid Silas, man, that kid's in for a world of hurt.
My name's Invulnerable Balls. Try me, bro.
And I like your girlfriend.
Hi, you know, I'm Robert Bevan, but my friends call me Bulletproof in the Woods. All right. Moving on. Our friend Artie Pree asks, where and when do you get your best inspiration? You know, on the crapper, in the shower, in bed as you're trying to desperately get to sleep?
Oh, that's not where I thought that was going.
Desperately try to get to sleep.
I imagine, just like all authors, I get mine while riding the great high on the white China dragon of heroin that we are all low-key addicted to.
Yeah, the only way to invite the creative demons into your soul.
Of course.
Ah, shit, are we supposed to be quiet about the fact that we're all fucking junkies?
Oh,
there's a reason they kind of
would not be a joke.
Chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
Like, it's not chasing the real animal, is it? It's chasing the dragon. You can't be a fantasy author without, you know, getting a little bit of heroin. Just a little bit.
Like, yeah, no. Functional heroin. Just like a dab will do ya, and then another dab, and then another dab.
You think somebody just, like, used their imagination and made up dragons? Or do you think they got high as fuck and the dragon revealed itself to them and they became a fantasy author? That is how it works.
We don't make the rules. We just follow the ones that the dragon sets forth.
Yeah, it's like you take some shrooms, you look at a gecko, and you freak the fuck out.
I've got a pee, so I'm going to give a serious answer real quick and be on my way. I get my inspiration when I sit down and stare at the blank screen and I need to write some shit before I can stop writing shit. Right back.
There you go.
I'm frequently inspired when I sit down and I look at my mortgage statement and they really want to get paid once a month. So I'm like, oh yeah, okay, time to go to work.
I'll get probably an answer he's looking for. My best ideas come to me when I'm shaving for some reason. I don't know whether it's the buzz of the razor or...
Yeah, needless to say, that's not a thing for me.
Yeah, or the fact that I'm like, you know, I'm shaving off the nerve endings on top of my head or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, my best ideas come to me when I finally decide, okay, you look disgusting, let's shave.
I'd say mostly my ideas come to me when I'm supposed to be doing something else. Procrastination. It's like if I'm doing something in which my brain would clearly just rather be doing anything else. Yeah, I've got a great story idea for you at this incredibly inopportune time. Yeah, my ideas come to me inconveniently.
Goddamn ideas.
Yeah, a lot of mine come to me while driving.
That used to be a thing for me when I had a commute and like a office job.
Yeah, that's it was good definitely more a thing when I was driving to and from Atlanta every couple of weeks.
Yeah, when I was driving for a living, I was like, I'm getting some great ideas, but I really should be concentrating on the road or I will die.
That's sort of what I ended up supplementing when I lost my commute and everything. Because my favorite time to like think of ideas is to just... throw on some headphones and go walk a couple of miles. Sometimes, you know, with a little high to go with me. Sometimes just walking and thinking. But yeah, letting my mind wander, and that's where I will sometimes brainstorm new ideas or try to work out plot holes. It's a pretty relaxing process.
Yeah, relaxing is good. Another thing I used to do back when I smoked, and I couldn't really afford to go out very much, so I would just get some beers and a pack of cigarettes, and I would just stand on the porch and smoke and drink and look at the moon. That was a nice kind of relaxing way to let ideas come to you. And when you're kind of a little bit drunk, dialogue comes to you a lot clearer, I find. I don't know why that is.
You know what I like to do?
Probably.
I like to bring my my underage romantic rivals into the forest and point a gun at them, and man, the ideas just flow.
It's you've got to do something that relaxes you.
What do you do if those people, if you fear those people will steal your ideas, or friends of those underage girls?
You shoot a tree next to them and leave them stewing in their brown pants.
The guy was out in the woods and he was trying to explain to his underage girlfriend that I've got this great idea for a book series. It's going to be called something to do with D&D, and it's going to be about these guys. And Ben was like, fuck you, I'm stealing that idea. And your girlfriend. And that's why he tried to shoot you. That's my theory.
Could be the case. I seem pretty literary. He said in jest.
Glad you clarified that.
Our friend Franka asks, if you were gods, what is this if you were? what offering would...
I lied, Rick.
As soon as we get to 100,000 YouTube subscribers, we will be gone.
Yeah, it sounds like I know someone that's not coming to A&D Con.
Anyway, if you were gods, what offerings would it take to summon you, to bind you, and to dispel you?
Ooh.
Cheetos.
I think to summon me, I guess, a sense of polite obligation. To bind me, also a sense of polite obligation. definitely a sense of polite obligation.
You can
very
summon...
socially awkward god.
Our friend Jen in chat nails exactly how to bind me. So you summon me with Mountain Dew, you bind me by dropping a cat on my lap, and then you dispel me by bringing up that it's time to go do manual labor.
If I'm a god, I'm going to up the stakes. If you want to summon me, let's call it 50 grand. If you want to get rid of me or dispel me, and if I'm legally allowed to be there, you just want me to go away. Maybe also 50 grand. If you want to bind me, tie me up, and do weird shit, that's a case by case basis.
Probably 50 grand.
$20.
I'm gonna go for a little bit of synergy here. You can summon me with a baked good, so long as it's of good quality. Shit from the bag doesn't count. Gotta put a little effort in. You can bind me with either a good drink or a good joint, and however long it takes me to finish it is how long you've got. And then you can dispel me by offering vegetables, in which case I will nope the fuck out.
This is also how you should interact with Drew at a con.
We were gods?
I brought you carrots. In my case, Transformers will summon me. Piles of dirty laundry will bind me. And anything to do with a fucking swimming pool will dispel me.
Oh, I've got a better dispel for me. Ask me to look up the fucking rules for grapple.
All right, why don't we do one more from the Discord and then we'll move over to the Facebook.
Sounds good.
Okie dokie.
Also, now I want cupcakes.
Our friend Zach of All Trades asks, everyone always says that the book is better than the movie, but do you have any personal examples where you thought the movie was better than the book?
Fight Club. 100% Fight Club.
Yeah.
I used to have a go-to for one of these.
That was fun.
Steve and I clearly must do.
Yeah. I don't know that I would... I don't know. This is a little bit controversial, and I will definitely understand people who don't agree. But I really enjoyed the movie Stardust, and I read the book first, and so I went in and I realized like they were changing a lot, but it was kind of nicer and more fun, and you know, it wasn't quite as bittersweet, but I don't know. I felt like it worked better overall.
Yeah, no, Pistols at Dawn, motherfucker. I'm definitely in the category of the other side of that controversy.
Oh, wait, was there controversy? Neil Gaiman himself said he liked it, so it was sort of like a everybody else can eat shit.
Yeah, well, fuck Neil.
Now that's controversy.
Yeah. All right, that's how we're getting our YouTube subscribers up. Somebody tell Neil Gaiman it. So I said Neil. That's right. Tell Neil I talk shit about him.
My general rule is like, if the person who wrote it is okay with it, then it can't be that fucked up.
Nah, looking. I've watched the movie twice, and the first time I really didn't like it, but it was the same problem I had with the movie Constantine. When I watched it again with some more distance from the source material, I really enjoyed it as a movie. Mm. And so as a thing separate from the book, I really like the movie. I didn't like it when I first saw it because I had just read the book and really liked the book.
Book is really good.
Yeah.
Say about Fight Club. There's some really good writing in Fight Club, obviously, and a lot of that is used in the movie. But the actual direction and visual style and soundtrack and the cast... maybe above the changes they made. I mean, the ending for Fight Club, the movie, was cooler than in the book, even if it made...
Yeah, absolutely.
Much cooler than the book. But it was such a stylistic masterpiece, Fight Club. It kind of I think the only thing it really changed, maybe for the worse in the book, is it kind of made the book more sexy than it was. It was still grimy. It was kind of, you know, Brad Pitt grimy. But I think, like, one of my favorite moments of that movie is because I hadn't heard much about it before I saw it. So when I watched it and the reveal, and it's one of the first movies I watched where this happened, the reveal that the Tyler Durden wasn't real and was a figment of the guy's imagination, and the way they dropped that in the movie was so beat perfect.
That's something I remember as well.
Ever measured up. Yeah, really. It's like every movie I've watched since then, when it turns out, oh, that guy didn't really exist. It's like, yeah, that's interesting, man, but you didn't do as well as Fight Club, and I don't think anyone ever will. Not even the book Fight Club. So it's not to say I don't like the Fight Club book. It's a very good book. Chuck's a very good writer, but the movie was just... I don't know. It was so slick.
Well, I will say that the movie Jaws is superior in every single way to the book. And that's not to say Peter Benchley's not a good writer.
Yeah. I haven't read the book, but from what I've read about it, I will agree.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Spielberg read the book and said, you know, we're just going to do the opposite of 90% of this. And it was the right choice. The characters in the movie are likable, like Brody and Hooper's friendship, that works. In the book, they're assholes. You know, when you see the shark, everybody's like, "Holy shit, this is big!" In the book, they're like, "Yeah, they get bigger." And then there's the ending, and like I said, not the shit on Peter Benchley, but spoiler alert, basically. The shark just dies in the book. That's it. It pretty much just had a heart attack and dies for...
like War of the Worlds style.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, well, that's it.
Oh, that's fucking lying.
I was thinking Life of Brian. I've had a cardiac arrest.
Oh, God. I've got another semi-quick controversial one to throw in there. the It TV series versus the book, purely because the It TV series skips the child orgy.
Yeah, solid move.
Also has Tim Reed. So yeah.
Tim Curry.
That.
He will always be there. I mean, the Skarsgård chap did a very good job of it, but he's going up against Tim Curry.
Yeah. I will say the child orgy scene is not a great read, but honestly, the rest, yeah, but the rest of the book is
that's actually, good. I think we can all stand with you there, Rick.
Making the bold declaration on Office Dragons Live.
Okay. This is pretty much my favorite book of all time. I've probably read it a dozen times, if not more.
Now I've got to burn my copy with the sticky pages.
Oh God!
But
podcast over. Everyone go home.
There's some brilliant parts in the book that like really the TV series or the movies just were not able to capture. You know, I will say yes. All things are superior when you take out the child orgy scene. But if you look at the book as a whole,
I just want to interject here. It's like that book was like 1,000 pages long. They could have lost 2 pages. No one knows.
But that's what happens
really
when you
fight to keep that in.
Yeah, there's a lot of anime logic that goes into the orgy scene, which pretty much comes down to we're lost underground. What do we do? I know. Let's fuck our way out.
Stephen King, you all right, mate?
There's a lot of cocaine in this era of Stephen King.
That's what I thought was missing from Lord of the Flies.
Do you want to take 5 minutes and think of another way they could get out of the series? No. Thing is, Bevan, you know, a child orgy scene in Lord of the Flies might actually make sense. I thought I said he should do it, or it would improve the source material.
That's what I was missing from Dirty Daycare.
I hope one day, you know, like Stephen King goes on Twitter and he's like, you know, I just read this, like, you know, I just read a whole bunch of shingle these books called Shingles, and you know what I have to say? They're trying so hard to be edgy, but where the fuck are your child orgies, fuckers?
Oh, I don't know. It gets close to the knuckle. I would say about film adaptations in general, it is generally the case that the more they try to keep to the source material, the more limiting it becomes, particularly if it's a full novel. I think it's just they're two very different mediums, so you shouldn't expect the film to be like the book. The only exception I can think of to that is the Lord of the Rings movies, where they kept really close to the source material and they were great. And then the flip side of that, the Hobbit movie, where they just made up a load of shit to pad out the Hobbit movies, and that was shit. So the entire Lord of the Rings film canon is the best and worst of those examples.
I was going to say, on the flip side of that, the shit they cut was, you know, good on them for cutting. The Tom Bombadil bullshit.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I'm like, yeah.
64 more endings for the last book.
Yeah.
The less fucking Tom Bombadil in the world, the better.
There were people complaining about it. I remember walking out the first film. They said, I can't believe they cut Tom Bombadil. And then I eventually read the book and went, you can't believe they cut this? This is fucking mental.
Yeah.
This has no place in any book. Except for his own, like, personal story about this, I don't know, fucking madman just singing in the countryside. You know, if I wanted to, I can just go watch a drunk. I can do that whenever I want. You don't need that in your movie.
Yeah, that seems like the point in the story where, like, you know, where one of Tolkien's friends, maybe Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, came over and said, I want to introduce you to this wonderful new thing called cocaine. It's like, well, now I think I'll write this scene about this magical god who shows up for no reason and somehow doesn't fix things.
This character's great. Is he going to help with our mission? No, fuck you. But it makes sense to cut things because the book is huge and movies are not huge. Movies have got a fit and act structure. They've got a certain amount of time. There's logistical reasons why you can't include an entire book. But that which they did leave in was very true to the book. But that's an exception. Most of the time, it's kind of, you've really got to reimagine what's in the book to be in a movie. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. And to be honest, Fight Club was fairly close to the book. So I'd give that some credit. It certainly didn't try to do its own thing. It just, you know, it was very true to the book in most of the senses while still being a very effective movie. I think that's the best you could
hope for. Club knew it knew it was a movie and went that way.
Exactly. Yeah, it took the vibe, it took the structure, it took the tone, and it translated it perfectly into a different medium without feeling too enslaved to what was happening on the text. I think that's why it's such a good adaptation. I would struggle to think of a better adaptation. But that's only because I haven't read Jaws, so.
I haven't read the Scott Pilgrim graphic novels, but I would go out on a limb to say the movie was better.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Jen in the Discord just threw down a real semi-gauntlet for Bevan. What about Bram Stoker's Dracula?
I'd go, I mean, that was not by any means a perfect movie. I did enjoy it more than the books. The book. A lot of boobs, she says. That's true. Also, the book was, a hodgepodge of like newspaper clippings and letters and shit, and it was interesting. But if Bram Stoker's Dracula was done, I think it's superior in ways than the source material. But it could still be improved upon. And preemptive fuck you, Rick.
Yeah, you can like your sucky movie.
I mean, I think
I still
when
do.
I think of all the other Dracula movies I've watched, I think Bram Stoker's Dracula tried to be as close to the source material as possible, while definitely being like visually and stylistically ambitious. It just didn't kind of. It didn't work as a horror movie. It didn't quite work as a fantasy movie. It's quite hard to do epic horror in film. But
I mean, would you say the book worked as a horror book?
No, that's the thing. So the book was very much its own thing, and there's a reason that it's so iconic and made such a splash in its time. But
also the book's a product of its time.
Yeah, I'd say the same. The movie in many ways, people still remember it. It made a big cultural splash despite its flaws. I don't think it's fair to take that away from it.
Really? I thought it bombed at the box office.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that bomb at the box office and go on to for example, Batman 3, Dark Knight Rising. No one liked that movie. Everyone remembers the Bane voice. Because that's how Bane talks. Girl, now.
My name is not Bang.
When people think of Dracula now, they might think of the classic Draculas and the whole big medallion and opera, or they might think of Gary Oldman and his weird butt hair and red robe.
And other Gary Oldman looking fucking hot.
Yeah, and that too. Well, you know what goths are like. They're always masturbating to Gary Oldman.
It cost about $40 million to make. It made $30 million in its opening weekend. And $200 million worldwide.
People were divided on it when it was released. I remember that.
Oh,
much.
I fucking hated it when it was released. I like it better now. I hate Keanu Reeves a lot less now. I also think it's possible.
Yeah, but Keanu Reeves is pretty hateable in that role.
Oh, he's terrible in that role.
He was a big part of why the movie didn't work for a lot of people. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is
you
like...
You kept expecting him to say, track, dude, you suck. That's what I fucking
kind of did, too, though. I mean,
yeah.
He was really pretty wooden there.
Also didn't like Gary Oldman's butthead. But other Gary Oldman was cool as shit. And Winona Ryder.
I like the butt hair and the red robe. That's a refreshing take on Dracula.
Yeah, he looked cool.
Yeah, agree to disagree.
I'm Dracula, and I will look however the fuck I want to look.
I'm going to look like your drunk grandma trying to seduce you. That's who Dracula is.
Oh, it only makes it more embarrassing as I rip your throat out. I'm not even looking cool while I do this.
Good God. Leave my drunk grandma out of this.
Just give him a cigarette on one of those old holders and, you know, change the wine for gin.
It's a fucking cigar, bro.
This is like a weekend at grandma's. There's got to be a movie in there somewhere.
I have a sort of one. I liked the book plenty, but because the language is a bit archaic, reading through it can be a bit more mentally consuming. Whereas the musical, I don't have a movie, but I have a musical. So Don Quixote is the book, and then Man of La Mancha is the musical. I do love both. But it's kind of more, I find Man of La Mancha more enjoyable since there's not, it's a more modern language interpretation.
I mean, I'll go Titus versus the original Titus Andronicus, just because it was Shakespeare's first play. But Julie Taymor's movie version of it was goddamn spectacular.
I don't think it's a good idea to compare books to movies, or indeed anything that crosses a medium. I think you can compare remakes of movies to movies. I think that's completely fair. I just watched Heathers is one of my favorite films. And I just watched a
musical
with my daughter. And I was fully expecting to hate it because I don't want to see my favorite film kind of reimagined for somebody's, bank balance or whatever. But they did a really fucking solid job of making that cynical, dark, absurd, weird film into just a really accessible musical. It lost some of the cynicism because they fleshed out the characters a bit more in song. I can't imagine Christian Slater singing about his feelings. That's not how the character of JD works for me, but they did it in the musical, and obviously, he wasn't Christian Slater, and they did have to do him a little bit differently, and they kind of made him a little bit more sympathetic and a bit more identifiably crazy.
Also, did they change the bits that are problematic as fuck nowadays?
No, there was an entire musical number about I Love My Dead Gay Son, and it was fucking brilliant. They kept a couple of F-bombs in there as well, which I was surprised about, but they were very kind of clearly parodying the 80s movie, so I see why they did that. Made sense in context entirely. They didn't shy away from the date rape aspect of it. They had a whole fucking number about that as well. In many ways, it was as true to the movie as it could have been, trying to make it into a two-hour musical. It lost some of the cynicism. It made it a little bit more... The silliness of the original movie was always very wry. The craziness was always very understated, which is what made it kind of so 80s and chic. And obviously you can't really do understated in a musical. So, saying was it as good as a movie is kind of, redundant. It was a very different experience. But I enjoyed it.
I don't really know anything about the musical, but given the time frame, the age of people who are writing and creating musicals nowadays is right for people who would have loved the movie. So,
yeah, well, there's something timeless about that movie, I think, because there are people going in there, like my daughter's 14, and there were other 14-year-olds that had dressed as the Heathers with Pro came out. It's, I'm like, why the fuck do you even know? I know people my age who don't know this movie. Why do you know it, you weirdos? But clearly there's enough of them to do. Because it wasn't just all people my age in there enjoying the musical. It really kind of speaking to people, I guess, who love the kitsch element of it, but also, I guess, just appreciate the fact that it's maybe a timeless movie. I always think of it as the dark, sarcastic Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Has there been a Breakfast Club musical? Seems like there should have been.
I'm sure there has. I don't know if it ever got.
See, it's like, yeah, we should take this famous John Hughes movie that's a timeless classic and turn it into a musical. If anyone said that to me, I would have slapped them. But I would have slapped them about the heathers as well. And turns out I was wrong about that. So
all right, now we're gonna go into the, now we're gonna go into like the dance number for Smoke Up Johnny.
Look, don't say it. They can make a really catchy musical number about my dead gay son.
2004.
Okay, well, apparently sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. For me, the Heathers musical worked. And I was surprised about that as anybody.
I've got one. The Old Testament versus the movie Year One. I will say I enjoyed one more than the other.
Sure.
Okay. Right. So, switching gears to Facebook. Our friend Greg asks, if you could trade a year of your life, a.k.a. a Faustian bargain, to be a 10% better writer, would you?
No.
No.
That would not move the needle nearly enough.
Yeah.
I am not a great writer, and it's not going to put me on any lists.
Let me add a little bit of zhuzhing here to make it slightly more appealing. 10% more successful writer would be more tempting, because to be frank, being 10% better probably wouldn't translate to much difference in sales.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're saying to be a 10% better marketer, I might be interested. But like, one, yeah, 10% better writer isn't going to mean dick. And two, I know the way Faustian bargains work, so it's like, oh, you're 10% better writer. Oh, and oh, by the way, that year of your life, you're dead now.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. Is like, I don't know when I'm going to die now. So, yeah, that year might have been the next one. Also, I'm with Bob. 10% better isn't going to really, not going to push me into being fucking Hemingway or whatever. It's just going to make me 10% more of a mid-list dude.
Now, if I can get in a Devil Comes Down to Georgia deal about writing dick jokes, now we're talking.
Wait, okay, hang on. So, in this contest, would it be you versus the devil, and whoever writes the funnier dick joke gets a book made out of gold?
Whatever, I'm gonna hawk it anyway.
yeah, just something to sell, something gold to sell for money.
Yeah,
I think it's a case of, like, Bevan writes the better shingles book than the devil, then the devil has to retire and Bevan has to take his place.
I don't know that Bevan's going to argue for a job.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about the devil's job. I want the big chunk of gold.
You know something? Here's the deal. You know, the devil wins, he gets Bob's soul. Bob wins Ghost of Hooker Alley, number one New York Times bestseller.
Bob gets the world's soul.
Yeah. Bob, devil wins, Bob goes to hell. Bob wins, everyone goes to hell.
Yeah, that's here, Bob. Yeah, that's one match the devil's like, I threw it and I'm glad.
I'm headed there anyway.
I'll save you a seat by the stage. The house band's going to be killed.
The cards are in my favor here.
Right.
I missed a question because I was peeing. This is something I normally would
do. Would you trade, Steve, would you
hit
a year of your life to be 10% of a better writer?
A 10% better writer, not 10% of a better writer. I'd be a better writer's foot.
You get 10% of Terry Presh.
Yeah, just get like his shoulder or something.
I don't want to be nitpicky, but you're entering a deal with the devil. These things are going to, the wording is important.
Yeah, you got to read that shit.
I mean, literally every movie. Well, 1 year of my life to be 10%. I'd probably give 10 years of my life to be 100% Perry. Why not? I mean, I make deals against my lifespan for a lot less tangible rewards.
Also, if the devil's not specific enough, I'm like, all right, you can have 1992. I don't fucking remember it anyway.
It's like, oh, the devil, I'm going to take a year of your lifespan to make you much better at this thing you love doing. So, well, I already gave up a year of my lifespan because I'm enjoying this pizza. And, you know, I already gave up a year of my lifespan because booze is good. Gave up a lot of
years. Definitely, you're going to have to get in line behind cigarettes, buddy. They've got a big old stake that you're going to have to talk to them about.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the deal is trade a year of life for pizza to be 10% better, now we might be talking.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
That might be. Woo.
So I've traded 10 years of my life just so you can leave me alone while I have a cigarette. I've traded years of my life because it was really important to get in a fight with that drunk. Get behind me, Satan, you fucking amateur. Yeah, I'd take that deal in a heartbeat.
Steve's traded a year for his life because, damn it, there's a donkey show he needs to see this week.
I'd say I'd trade a year of my life to be 10% a better writer in a greasy, oily heartbeat.
That got awkward.
Obviously, this is just, I mean, this isn't even honesty. This is just, I can't lie to you about this. Oh, yeah, I'd take that deal. Sitting here drinking 6 beers in a country I've flown out to simply so I can attend a convention where I'm going to drink a lot more than 6 beers. Yeah, it's on the table. The devil's not going to make me that deal. He's already knows that I have far too limited years left to trade, and I will trade them for much less useful things.
And devil's like, like he's adding it up on his calculator. He's like, how the fuck are you still alive?
You are negative by a lot at this point.
Well, I made a deal with a different devil. It's called Rock and Roll, baby.
You technically qualify as undead.
All of a sudden, Steve is a 1990s Hellblazer story arc where he sold his soul to 3 different devils and now he can never die, or the 3 devils all fight each other and hell explodes.
First devil, I'll give you a year of my life to be a better writer. Second devil, give me a year of life to be a worse writer.
So look, does anyone have a light? I'll give you a
year. I'll tell you what. I got 60 authors under contract. I'll give you a year off each one of them to make them a 10% better selling writer.
That's the money move there.
Always check your Falstaff contracts, people.
Oh, I don't live
to 90, my God.
But I write a masterpiece. Oh, no. One less year in nursing home. But, you know, everything's slightly cooler. The devil seems like, you know, not particularly evil in this instance. Are you sure it isn't Jesus making this deal?
Listen, you're not going to sell anything. Just come home sooner and you can be reincarnated. We'll try this shit again.
Reboot.
I promise we'll find you a real career next time.
You'll have to work at those.
I will trade a year of your life to make you a well-paid accountant. Sold.
Oh, God.
It's like, you can die now, but next life...
70?
Next life, you'll be a 10% better garbage man.
I'll take it.
I mean, these are all I'm going to tell you.
I know.
Yeah, that's great, but I mean, being 10% better at being a garbage man, does that move the needle at all?
Probably about as much as being 10% of a better writer does.
That was my initial argument.
I, the devil, will trade all of your artistic talent to make you a popular YouTuber. Sold.
That's the deal. This 10% is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Whatever your job.
All my artistic talent is gone. Now suck these Cheetos out of my toes, motherfucker, and smile for the camera.
I think you just explained all of YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible that maybe there is a devil and that he won a long time ago.
But, he's just doing victory lap after victory lap.
Yeah. He's just going around to people and I'll make you 10% better or whatever the fuck for a year of your life. And people just go, yeah.
I mean, unless you're Da Vinci or Einstein or some shit, then that 10% isn't going to amount to whole much, devil. Let's up the stakes.
All or nothing.
Well, it could. I mean, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, you went to the Kardashians and be like, hey, you're left for you to be 10% more awful.
Obviously, they have now bargained 200 years apiece.
I'll take 10%. 10% for a year. Fucking bargain.
All right. Why don't we take a nice light one here? Our friend John asks, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream or type of frozen dessert?
Yes.
Whatever that McDonald's pineapple slushy I had in Korea was called. That was amazing.
Whatever the booze ice cream that Rachel bought me in Vegas. I think it was like mint chocolate chip and alcohol. It was fantastic.
Oh. Yeah, I think I'm going to say mint chocolate chip, specifically Bluebell, but if I don't know what to do, I go to Old Reliable mint chocolate chip.
There used to be this brand of, it was basically raspberry vanilla gelato that I would buy, and goddamn, that shit was good.
I'm going to get...
Wow, dead. Aren't you fucking fancy?
Yeah, I think if I'm going to get decadent, I'll go for a... What's the Ben & Jerry's with, like, little marshmallow chunks in it and chocolate monkey faces?
I don't even know how to do it. Chunky Monkey?
No, that doesn't sound right.
Jerry Garcia?
No.
Those are the only two flavors of Ben & Jerry's I know.
Well, fuck it. I can't remember it, so I'll go for a... I had a baked Alaska Ben & Jerry's recently. If it's got chocolate chunks and marshmallow in the ice cream, I'm sold. If you can somehow incorporate peanut butter and dark chocolate into that, I am doubly sold. Satan, 1 year of my life for that ice cream.
But it's got to be delivered to Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I could just go to the Walmart. It's a 5-minute walk. But, you know, if Satan's there.
I'll give you a year of my life just so I can be lazy.
Yes, Chet, I
yeah,
am.
Oh, yeah.
If you can just amplify Rocky Road to include more things I like, maybe, I don't know, mountainous road.
Rocky Road plus Rocky Road plus Lucky Charms, Rocky Irish Road.
You guys are saying it wrong.
Peanut butter in there.
Rocky Road?
The fuck is that?
What?
Huh? The Goonies!
Oh.
Right, of course.
I thought Chaucer's testicles had descended all of a sudden.
How do you guys hear the words Rocky Road in any other context?
Practice?
No. Yeah. The practice, I've heard Sloth say Rocky Road more than I've heard anyone else say Rocky Road.
I thought
my parents ate Rocky Road, so I heard a lot of Rocky Road.
I'm eating something delicious. I don't want to be thinking about Sloth with his child tied up in a basement.
Also, I'm thinking that's like, you know, Rocky Road is the name of the flavor of Droyster's taint as well.
Oh, God damn it.
Baby Ruth.
Jeez. That's why I thought you baby Ruth.
Fuck me.
My kids, if they want ice cream, if they want Rocky Road ice cream, they are not allowed to ask me unless they do the voice.
Oh, how often do they ask for Rocky Road ice cream? Is it
my
none?
Son loves Rocky Road.
Oh. Well, you've just ruined it for him.
Oh, he loves it.
No, I think that's pretty fantastic. I think that's like parent of the year shit right there. Also another reason I don't have children.
If you want your favorite ice cream, you have to do an impression of this underground giant monster who kidnaps children.
Yeah, no, I'm down. He didn't kidnap Chunk.
He's not making the kid do the fucking truffle shuffle.
I mean, if the child hadn't bribed him, I reckon the Sloth would have eaten Chunk. That's the impression I got.
Well, you know, you interpret it your way, but Chunk saved his life.
Yeah, because
he saved Chunk's life.
If Chunk hadn't had
he threw that candy bar in Sloth's face, and he freaked out a little bit, but then they became friends.
Because he gave him candy. If he didn't have that candy on him, if Chunk hadn't been such a stereotypical 80s fat kid.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a confession to make. Something I don't think I've ever told anybody. But,
oh God!
I have
this
never,
about the sheep.
I've actually never watched the Goonies all the way through.
At the movies, motherfuckers!
They just tune out when the kids start shouting at each other. That's what I do now.
All right, folks, afraid that's all the time we have for this week's interlude. We will be back next week with a side quest, and then in 2 weeks with a regular game coming from Authors and Dragons Con live in Nashville. So we hope to see you there.